sing for its song. It takes a worried man to sing a worried song. It takes a worried man to sing a worried song. Worried now, but I won't be worried long. Hey, I'm singing great.
For NPR Music, I'm Bob Boylan. In 1959, a folk festival in Newport, Rhode Island, mixed traditional folk, protest songs, and current pop music. A half century later, NPR Music is going to Newport to cover the 50th anniversary. For 2 days, on the 1st and 2nd of August, we'll broadcast and webcast the music live, starting around noon. Like the very first roster of artists, this year's anniversary lineup is eclectic, with Pete Seeger, he played Newport in 1959, plus Joan Baez, the Decemberists, Fleet Foxes, the Campbell Brothers, the Avett Brothers, Mavis Staples, the Low Anthem, and so much more. The original festival was conceived by the father of festivals, George Ween. He started the Newport Jazz Festival in 1954. My guest today is Jay Sweet. Jay is the producer of the festival these days called George Ween's Folk Festival 50. I talked to Jay about what's in store this weekend at Newport and about its founder, George Ween.
George Ween was this young hotshot producer. He had a place in Boston. He's a Boston kid like me. I like to hear the tale that it all came down to some kind of bored debutante blue blood Brahmin in Newport who was getting bored in the summers in Newport and said, "George, why don't you bring some people down and throw a little shindig for us down here?" And I think that was the impetus that that began what we're celebrating today. And I love that story, that it was basically, you know, a lot of people would summer in Newport and they would miss the excitement and the buzz of the city. And George provided them that.
And in 1959, what were the sorts of things that came to Newport in the folk festival?
Well, I look at, there's lots of stuff, but the two things that I look at that I think are really important are, you have Pete Seeger on one hand, who was actually the co-founder and a good friend of George's, and you have the Kingston Trio on the other end of the spectrum. And why I think those two are different is, at that time, Pete Seeger really, you know, and still to this day, was kind of an outlier, stood away from the mainstream. You know, he was quote-unquote well-known, but in a way that's more outlaw artist type, whereas the Kingston Trio was the one selling records, popular, clean-cut. And, you know, to this day, why I make that point is, to this day, there's still this kind of tension between the purity, say, of a folk artist, and I do put that in large quotations, and somebody that's popular music that may fall into that genre. So at the very first festival, that was there.
And 50 years later, he calls his friend up, Pete Seeger, and says, "Hey, Pete."
"Hey, Pete, you want to come back? And not only play one, but play 2 days?" You know, and as you know, Pete being 90 years old, I saw him at his 90th birthday celebration at Madison Square Garden, and I think he had more energy than anybody else on the entire stage.
Wow.
And that was some big names there.
So bring us to 2009 that you're going to have. On one end, you'll have someone like Fleet Foxes. On the other end, you'll have Pete Seeger. And
how cool is that?
Really?
I shake myself a lot and say I can't believe that this is what I get to get up in the morning and focus my attention on, is making these, bridging the gaps, as you and I spoke about a couple of years ago, of saying, hey, look, you know, is what, say, the Decemberists and Fleet Foxes and people like Joe Pug and Langhorne Slim, is the stuff they're doing any different than what Pete was doing at that same, you know, at his same time back in the 50s and early 60s? You know, these artists, granted, they don't have to really, you know, because of Pete, they'd actually don't have to fight some of the same fights that Pete did during that time. But at the same time, musically, you know, I think everybody looks at Pete and says, without Pete, where would we be musically?
On both Saturday and Sunday, I'm looking at the end of the day, after a day of, you know, for Saturdays, for example, there are three different stages. On Saturday, you have Tip Merritt, Billy Bragg, Avett Brothers, Gillian Welch, Fleet Foxes, the Decemberists, and then a sing-along with Pete and Tal Seeger. So what are those sing-alongs going to be? Do you know?
Put it this way. We could sit here, Bob, and plan exactly what they're going to be, and I could tell you what they're going to be. It's really up to Pete. from other shows that I've seen where people just feel this strong need to share the stage or wanting to share the stage with Pete Seeger, that I know that his grandson, Tao Seeger, Rodriguez Seeger, who is in the Mammals and an incredible musician in his own right, is really the band leader, and the plan, or lack thereof, is really that Tao will be talking to all the other artists that are familiar and have reached out to him directly throughout the day to kind of work through what songs they might do together, when they come in, and, you know, a very loose hootenanny.
So there's a very good chance that someone like Billy Bragg will come on stage with Mr. Seeger and Mr. Tao. And
I would be, if I were a betting man, I would say absolutely. Yeah, you have people like Tom Morello, Billy Bragg, Brett Denon, Ramblin' Jack Elliott, all on the same day. Yeah. I have a feeling that's going to be a crowded stage come around 7 o'clock. And I can't tell you, that's when I take off my walkie-talkie and I go out and I get out in the front and
sing along, be
one of the crowd. Yeah, sing along.
So one of the things that happened in folk music and was really important in the 1950s and some of the battles you sort of spoke about with that Pete Seeger had was music was part of a movement. And I don't mean a genre, right? I mean, it was part of it, but I mean, in the bigger sense, part of the social culture to move things in certain directions, to have beliefs in something and sing about those beliefs. And in the singing about those beliefs, rally more people and just, you know, and build a movement. And for a lot of people, that sort of is, you know, a definition of folk music in the late 1950s. You've brought a few protest singers that I certainly know of, or who you could easily say are, you know, Billy Bragg certainly sings about social injustice. Who else do we have there that I might not know about?
Well, I think Tom Morello, who is, you know, a This Thing Kills Fascists guitar scripter. I think he has One Man Revolution on his guitar, much like Woody Guthrie.
And he's known certainly for not the Night Watchman, but...
Right, but, I mean, hey, he's in a, you know, being most well-known for Rage Against the Machine, just the name of his band, I think you get a little bit about what he's about. But then you also have, I like to look at that. That's on Saturday, actually, where you have Pete Seeger, who is really the torchbearer for protest singing that's still with us. And then you have someone like Billy Bragg, and you have Tom Morello, and you have Brett Denon. You know, Brett Denon's are a little bit more, because, you know, while of course there's still some a myriad of social injustices that lots of people sing about, but, you know, he focuses a lot on the environment, which is a social injustice, and that's the way he sees it through Brett Denon's eyes, or at least through his lyrics and when I've talked to him and read interviews. So to have all those people on one day at this festival is, I think, a real positive move for us to be able to bring them all together in one place in one day.
I've never heard Brett Denon, so let's play a song.
There ain't no reason things are this way. It's how they always been and they intend to stay. I can't explain why we live this way. We do it every day. Preachers on the podium speaking of saints. Prophets on the sidewalk begging for change. Old ladies laughing from the fire escape, cursing my name. I got a basket full of lemons and they all taste the same. A window in a pigeon with a broken wing. You can spend your whole life working for something just to have it taken away. People walk around pushing back their debts, wearing paychecks like necklaces and bracelets. Talking about nothing, not thinking about death. Every little heartbeat, every little breath. People walk a tightrope on a razor's edge, carrying their hurt and hatred and weapons. It could be a bomb or a bullet or a pen, or a thought or a word or a sentence. There ain't no reason things are this way. It's how they always been and they intend to stay. I don't know why I say the things I say, but I say them anyway. But love will come, set me free.
Brett Denon. We'll put full songs on the online so you can hear more of Brett Denon and lots of other stuff. We have a sampler. You can download 12 songs for free of artists that are going to be at the festival. And, of course, the great thing is we're there. NPR Music's at the festival. WFUV host Rita Houston and I will be there covering you know, artists like Billy Bragg and the Avett Brothers and Gillian Welch, the Fleet Foxes, the Decemberists, and, you know, there's the Low Anthem and Mavis Staples. And it's going to be hard to do all of those for us live because they happen on three stages in 2 days, and we're just going to sort of pick. We're going to be at the main stage a lot, but we'll also pick and choose from some of the other smaller stages and play some of that. And then, of course, in the end, we'll podcast almost all of these, have all of them online for you. I didn't even get to Sunday yet, right?
Yeah, I know that's just one day. I mean, I'm overwhelmed, and I planned the darn thing. We tried hard to make it overlap, so you know we could see some of our own favorite things.
I did that last year. I just because once we hit the broadcast, and once I'm not announcing, I'm free to watch the band that I've just announced, and I do that. But then I quickly run to the other two or two tents and try to catch what I did. And one of them was last year was this sensational set by the Avett Brothers.
I'm just so glad you brought that up.
The tent because
I just got chills when you said it. I mean, and that's they were one of the few bands that I think one of our first phone calls was to have them come back and get up on the main stage. I mean, that they are to me the epitome of a band that has a tribe, you know, has a community, much like you were talking about.
Absolutely.
That they built it themselves. They are themselves. They are very, very unique. People always try to say, is it, you know, polyethnic, Cajun, slam grass, you know, whatever it is. It's tough to, you know, you hear, and the greatest thing is you hear some of it on, or on their LP or CD, and then you see it live, and it's translated completely differently.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, the energy level.
The energy, I mean, you can hear as much Avett Brothers, yes. But you hear them live, and your hair falls out.
They're red-faced, on fire, banging the kick drum while they whacked at banjos and stuff. It's really good, so that will happen. I want to talk to you just a little more about some of the protest stuff, though. I mean, you also in this category, one of the most important people in that genre of music is going to be at this festival, which is Joan Baez.
Yeah, you know, I think we would be remiss to not have Joan Baez be at a celebration of this festival and the decades past. I mean, you know, and I also think she's getting to a place where I think there's plenty to fight about, but I think what she'll be providing is a retrospect to a lot of the people who were there. And I don't speak, you know, I don't like to speak in demographics. I believe to speak in psychographics, you know, people with a certain mindset. And I think she'll be really being able to give people a look back, you know, to use Dylan Fritz, you know, a look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And to be able to look at the last five decades and where we've come as a society.
I believe in prophecy. Some folks see things not everybody can see. And once in a while they pass a secret along to you and me. And I believe in the miracles. Something sacred burning in every bush and tree. And we can all learn to sing the songs the angels sing.
To be able to give that mirror, say, hey, look, we've taken great strides in a lot of the problems that she sang about in 1960s. You know, I think that's really important. And I definitely think it's great to have someone like Nico Case before her. I think that was something that we really were excited about as far as our programming and our curating of how things were going to go down. Once again, Nico being a very bold, very powerful female artist, or you take away the word female, powerful artist, period.
My love, I am the speed of sound. I left them motherless, fatherless. This soul's dangling inside out from their mouths, but it's never enough.
And on that Sunday, which we haven't even touched on, you start off with Josh Ritter, Campbell Brothers. Tell us about the Campbell Brothers real quick.
The Campbell Brothers are, they're sacred steel. That's really what they are.
Which is this pedal steel movement, mainly, I mean, started sort of in Florida, yeah.
Yeah, and it's basically gospel, but backed by pedal steel, numbers of them, at the same time having large voices. It's really, really moving. I mean, if you don't move to Campbell Brothers, your body's broken. You are in a full body cast.
Because those steel, they sing. They're not like twangy. This is about an instrument as voice. There's something so powerful about the way the pedal steel reaches the place that most people wouldn't dream of singing, but in their heads could imagine, like, wanting to get to that peak. There's something quite remarkable about that.
Maybe it's the sound of God scat singing. I mean, it's got this amen quality to it. I mean, I honestly hear it, and I think, to me, that is religion. You know, that sound, I mean, of just being able to capture something. I love the term, sacred steel. Yeah. It's strong, but yet it's got, there's a very spiritual overtone there.
Now, Tim Erickson and the Shape Note Singers, tell me about them, because this is, again, this is often hymnal music, right? It's tell us, people who never heard Shape Note will play some, but what is Shape Note singing?
Wow, that's difficult. Shape Note singing is another Southern, it's mostly from the South, where people tend to learn to sing phonetically. They look at the notes, meaning shape of your mouth. I mean, shape notes, where you don't have to learn how to read music or know how to read music. It was basically so the congregation could sing along and know the melody without having to read music.
And often they'll divide, I don't know if they'll do this here, but they divide the room up so they face one another, so the
yep.
tenors are looking at the, you know.
That's right.
Right.
And they can, and they play off each other, and I'm having a difficulty describing it, just because it's one of those things that no matter how much you play it or you read about it, until you see it, mm-hmm. you don't understand just how intricate and unbelievably cool. I mean, something that could be so intricate but yet so simple at the same time is, to me, the perfect balance.
Let's listen to some, because it is hard to describe. Is Tim Erickson going to get the audience involved in the Shape Note singing anyway?
Well, he's bringing a large group of Shape Note singers.
I see.
And not only that, but a little bird told me that Elvis Perkins, who is playing right after, has actually knows Tim and has done some Shape Note singing himself, and he'll be involved for a little bit of that as well, which I, once again, another unique thing that only happens at Newport, but I think Tim is such a amazing presence, and he can really engage an audience, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if he starts making the audience get involved. the way I look at it is very much somewhat the way last year when we had the Young at Heart chorus. It's, to me, this was another thing like that is going to be really inspirational. You know, at first people might say, oh, Tim Erickson, Shape Note Singers, I don't know what that is, I might miss that. Do not miss that.
You mentioned Joan Baez, and you said the festival would be remiss without Joan. We have Pete Seeger there.
I know where you're going with this, Bob.
No, how could I not? So last year you had Jacob Dylan. I'm getting closer and closer. What happened when you asked Bob Dylan?
Oh, well, you know, when I got Bob on the phone personally and we had that heart-to-heart talk and the funny thing is we obviously, when the camps both realized that having Bob there would be a story and at the same time realized that Bob not being there would be a story. And it really, I wish there was some bigger thing. It came down to timing. It came down to the right fit. It wasn't anything other than that. At the same time,
do you mean he was going to be on tour, or what do you mean? I don't understand what you mean by timing. So
I think it was he had made plans earlier to be with his current tour with Willie Nelson and John Mellencamp. I would be remiss to say that we at least tried.
Yeah.
You know, it was there was an attempt, but we understood and we didn't push it. And you know, Bob does Bob, as if I know him. Mr. Dylan does his own thing. You know, we basically moved on very quickly. And I'm saying this. In all honesty, I thought something more appropriate for it was Pete Seeger, and I do mean that. He's the co-founder. He's 90 years old, and to have him be here to celebrate the 50th, I think that is the story. And I'm glad that our quote unquote, and he would kill me if I said this, and I'm probably going to hear tongue lashing for saying this, but having Pete Seeger as our quote headliner for both days, I think is a perfect. Storyline for this year. And I say why he would give me a tongue lashing is because he's just the most humble and modest person that he doesn't believe that this should be about him or that he should be the focus of anything.
I'm talking with Jay Sweet. He's a producer for George Wein's Folk Festival 50. This is the 50th anniversary of the Folk Festival at Newport. People come to this festival as artists, and you know, the Decemberists could do the Hazards of Love for the that they've been doing since they premiered it in Austin in March, but they won't do that. And I want to talk about some of the things that you know about that might be special that artists may do because of A, they're coming to a folk festival, and B, it's a very historic one. So
you're giving away all my trade secrets, Bob.
Give us a little hint. We want surprises.
Okay.
But what might we look at?
I would, I can tell you this. I would not miss the Decemberist set just because of what you mentioned, but also...
Which is 5:30 Saturday night.
5:30. You know, you never know. You have these conversations with artists and you don't want to put them on the spot, but I can say that I did a little while back share some beer time with Sam Beam of Iron and Wine, and... I'm really interested to see how some of his songs will translate into this setting. And I think that'll be interesting. I think having the Low Anthem be there will be very interesting because I think Ben was saying, Ben, the lead singer of the Low Anthem, was saying something along the lines of the other day that, well, he'll be playing Saturday since his girlfriend is part of the Recycling Clean Action group, that he'll be probably... volunteering on Sunday, picking up water bottles.
And this is all of them did that last year, right? They weren't chunk of them.
The funny thing is, yeah, there's a little story there, whereas the Low Anthem last year, Ben and Jeff from the Low Anthem were wearing their muck boots waist deep in dumpsters pulling out recycling as volunteers, and they shamelessly, as they said, I'm quoting them, they shamelessly carried with them in their pockets a bunch of demos. And they gave one to me, and they gave one to my colleagues over at Paste Magazine and a couple of other producers. And after the festival, when everything was calmed down, this was on Monday, you know, so the day after the festival, I was driving, and I realized I didn't have any music to drive home. So I threw it on there, and I was blown away. Mm-hmm. And I called up my friends at Paste, and I said, hey, I don't know, did you get that CD? And yeah, and have you listened to it? We were both blown and away, just amazed. And so we started... you know, writing about them in the magazine, and next thing you know, they started getting some press, and they got some momentum, and then they started playing. They played Bonnaroo this year, and then we have them 1 year later from when they were in a dumpster. they're playing on the celebration of the 50th anniversary, and they're from Rhode Island. So I mean,
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're from Providence. So I mean, talk about a full circle homecoming. And the same with Deer Tick, similar story. You know, Andrew from Deer Tick was another person on that recycling crew, and he was in Providence band Deer Tick, and once again they're on the bill.
Looks
so
like
I think that's the way to get into the Newport.
I was going to say I've got some interviewing to do every time I see somebody with
you
a
see someone
plastic
picking up,
trash bag.
Exactly. Hey, are you in a band?
Yeah.
Is there any one song that you're looking forward to happening?
Yeah, only one? Do I have to pick one? No, I mean, I could just tell you, here are the things. I think hearing Low Anthem do Charlie Darwin is going to be pretty impressive. I think the other thing that I'm hoping these people are adding it. Elvis Perkins doing his song Hey, I think is a song that I've been, can't get off my repeat button. But mostly, Joe Pug.
I don't know anything about Joe Pug.
He is a true troubadour. Really, if you want to look at the one person who is at one of the smaller stage, but who really embodies, I think, what people are looking for in quote-unquote, and I know this is the worst comparison, I'm probably doing him a disservice, but a troubadour, and I think you know who I'm talking about. I mean, if you're looking at who is going to take the place of a Bob Dylan in that sense of at this festival, someone who nobody really knew who he was, but people on the ground know exactly who he is. People, I mean, this guy shows up in a van, just him, a guitar, big thing of peanut butter, and like two pairs of work shirts, and he makes just enough money to get to the next gig, and he sleeps on couches, and he is the penultimate true artist when it comes to, it's all DIY, it's all do-it-yourself, and his lyrics are just stunning. They're stunning. So he'll be there, so I'm excited. But the big one for me is something that I've actually begged and pleaded with them, is to see the Decemberists play Sons and Daughters.
From the Crane Wife,
just because of that end, Pete Seeger being a sing-along man, as we know. But I think the very end of that song, hear all the bombs fade away. And hearing that at the fort, at Fort Adams State Park, and it's a maritime type of tune, looking out at all the boats and having the whole crowd sing along.
I actually saw
the Decemberists and backstage in Boston someplace, and we talked about that. Chris Funk and I talked about what an incredible moment that would be. So, you know, let's cross our fingers and hope that from my mouth to their ears.
Thanks so much. I can't wait to see this festival. I look forward to seeing you. George Wein's Folk Festival 50 happens on the 1st of August, the 2nd of August. It all happens on NPR Music. It unfolds on the online and unfolds on the podcast. WFUV will broadcast it and some other stations as well. Thank you, Jay Sweet.
Bob, I'm really excited to get some hang time with you, buddy.
It'd be great. And I'll stand next to you as we sing
We Shall Overcome.
or This Land Is Your Land.
Yeah.
Something. We're going to sing something together.
And everybody will hear it on NPR. And I'll say, that's Bob Boylan singing.
Take care.
All right.
Thanks a lot. And you can hear our coverage from Newport beginning Saturday, August 1st at noon. You can download a free sampler of 12 songs from artists performing at Newport. For more information, go to npr.org/Newport Folk. The following weekend, we're back at Newport to cover the Newport Jazz Festival. I'm Bob Boylan for NPR Music.
Here are the bombs that fade away. Here are the bombs that fade away. Here are the bombs that fade away.